I'm Sammy Lucas, and I'm romantically challenged. Where are all the good men? It's a question many singles have pondered, myself included. Well, my guest in this episode reckons she has the answer to that question. Yes, she does. After 25 years of dating, Ellie Klein decided to try a different approach, and it worked. Now she's happily married and sharing the secrets of her romantic success as a professional dating mentor through her website and the online dating community she's creating. It's called yourdatingbestie.com. In this episode, Ellie's got some great tips for anyone who's frustrated by dating, who feels like they're doing it all wrong, or wondering if they will ever find their perfect match. Here's Ellie.
Hi, I'm Ellie Klein. I'm a 43-year-old woman. I've been married to my husband, David, for a year and a half, and we've been together for 5.5 years. For various reasons, we decided not to have kids, but we do have two fur babies, Vicky, the black cat, and Punky, the French bulldog. I'm a professional dating mentor, and my business is called Your Dating Bestie. I help women master online dating and find the man of their dreams. I enjoy binge-watching my favourite TV shows, going out to restaurants, live shows, and cultural events, and travel, particularly visiting my friends in New York. Dating for me is now, finally, a thing of the past. I experienced almost every dating high and low imaginable over 25 years, 3 countries, and 7 dating sites and apps. My ideal partner is my husband, David. Apart from being extremely intelligent, hilariously funny, and very spunky, David is, more importantly, warm, easygoing, open, honest, trustworthy, loyal, a good communicator, and a joy to go through life with. My life motto is, to the world, you may be one person, but to one person, you may be the world.
Oh, Ellie, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. There is so much I want to chat to you about.
Thank you, Sammy. I'm so excited to be here.
And thank you for emailing me. Now, there were a couple of things in your email that really caught my attention. Number one, you reckon you know the answer to the question, where are all the good men? And can you say men are better at dating than women?
Oh, that's going to ruffle some feathers.
Okay, now I'm going to do what's known in the biz as a tease here. We're going to discuss all of that in great detail later in the podcast. But first, you say you've experienced almost every dating high and low over the last 25 years, as I know a lot of us have.
Yes.
Was the highest high meeting your husband?
It was, but it wasn't the moment I met him.
Oh.
You know, I didn't meet him and go, oh, my God, I've met, you know, my Mr. Right. I don't think it really works like that. My highest high was probably my wedding day. I know that sounds a bit cliched, but it wasn't the wedding itself. It was what the wedding represented. It meant that I found someone who made me truly happy and someone I made truly happy and I could spend my life with.
And what about the lowest low?
The lowest low was just how long it took to find someone. I have a name for it. I call it compound disinterest. So it's when there's a lack of interest in you over, and it compounds over time, and every rejection just makes it feel worse and worse, and until you feel utterly miserable.
What was that term? Compound disinterest.
Compound disinterest.
I love that so much. A new catchphrase.
But I was 27 when I started doing online dating. That was the age my mother got married. And I didn't meet David until I was 38, and I met him online. So I did online dating for over 10 years. And in that time, I had a good time, but I wasn't finding my Mr. Right. And over time, I was thinking, what's wrong with me, or what am I doing wrong? Is this even possible? I mean, you really start doubting yourself over time. And those dark times when you think, wow, I may not be able to find this sort of number one thing that I want, which is to share my life with someone, that was my lowest low.
And you also have said to me that you reckon there's nothing my listeners could have experienced in the dating world that you haven't experienced yourself. Well, I have heard some cracking stories over the years. What's been your most bizarre date?
I think probably the weirdest one was having a great boyfriend for over a month who just completely disappeared on me. And I never, ever, ever heard from him again. And he he was such a good boyfriend, and he was so good at contacting me, and things were going so well that I actually did check his social media to make sure he didn't die. But no, he didn't die. He's alive and well, but he just stopped contacting me all of a sudden, and there was no getting in touch with him. And it was scary too, because you've gotten to know someone, they're treating you well, you start to trust that feeling, and then they just cut out. And that was very weird. I still don't know why that happened.
Have you never reached out to say, I mean, now that you've well and truly moved on, you're happily married, don't you just want to message him and say, come on?
No, because he doesn't matter anymore. He's a nobody. He's a nobody.
Don't you want to know? Give me his number. I'm going to reach out to him.
I do know. Oh. Because I wasn't the right girl for him.
Oh, okay. And he was too gutless to tell you.
Yeah, I think maybe he wasn't sure exactly how he felt. He could see things progressing. Maybe he sort of, for some reason, didn't want them to progress. And yeah, he couldn't face me and didn't even want to be friends. And so he just disappeared.
You say you met your husband, David, at the age of 38. Now, from your description of David in your intro, I know they say there's no such thing as a perfect man, but I feel like, Ellie, you may have found him. And B, does he have a brother?
Sammy, I did conveniently leave out all the flaws.
So how did you meet?
He reached out to me on RSVP, and I wasn't dazzled. I thought he was cute. I thought he was fun. But I didn't think that we were a perfect match. I could see some incompatibilities, but I was willing to give him a chance. And things just very slowly, step by step, progressed. We swapped a few messages, and that went well. And we had a phone call, and that went well. And we had a first date, and that went well. Everything was very smooth. He always contacted me. He always organized to see me every weekend. And it was just very, very easy. And as I got to know him, the incompatibilities melted away. They weren't an issue. And he turned out to exceed expectations. It was way better than I ever expected.
Because you gave someone a chance.
Exactly. You know, it's funny. There's every chance he could have contacted me on RSVP 10 years earlier. And I may have just discarded him, you know, like put him in the reject pile and not even had any contact with him at all. But I'd been dating for so long that I realized that I needed to be a little bit more open-minded and let someone pleasantly surprise me. And that's what happened.
Okay, so now you are a professional dating mentor. What does that mean exactly?
Well, I've had so much experience with dating and online dating and ultimately success, and I can also see how I finally got to find my life partner and have the relationship that I wanted, that I feel as though I have enough experience and knowledge and passion for this topic that I can certainly mentor anyone who is currently doing online dating, if they've just started, if they've been doing it for ages, they're frustrated with it. Learning how to, you know, use online dating sites effectively, learning how to look at men's dating profiles and decide whether or not you want to give them a chance. I also have a bit of a knack for writing dating profiles because I'm a copywriter by trade. So I used to write ads in an advertising agency. And I was looking at all these dating profiles and thinking, my gosh, they're so awful.
Ellie.
I know. Dating apps have made dating profiles even worse. But they were awful. And I thought, gosh, these are probably really good people. They don't know how to present themselves in a profile. And so I started helping people. I actually started with a lot of men writing their dating profiles, and they just were ridiculously successful. The first man I wrote a dating profile for was a friend of mine. He met his wife within 2 weeks, and now they're still happily married and they have 3 kids.
That then lead into this website that you have now.
So what happened was I felt as though all I could really offer for a long time was dating profiles because I hadn't met someone yet. And so I didn't think as though I had the authority, you know, to tell people how they should and shouldn't date because I hadn't ultimately been successful with it yet. But then when I finally met David and I could see where I had gone wrong in the past and I could see a clear way of helping my clients, I added on one-on-one mentoring with the profile writing, and I would work with them for 6 months. But I was only helping one woman at a time, and I wanted to have a bigger impact. And I relaunched my business as a membership community. And so as you date and you meet people, you can post in the community, you can ask a question, what do I do, how do I handle this, or you can post an update, this is what's been happening and I've made great progress, or you can post your dating profile and get feedback on it. I mean, that's one of my specialties. Or you can just vent, you know, you can get in there and say, I am so exhausted by this, and then be uplifted and get a reset so that you can go back out and keep looking for love.
So it's kind of like you've created this community. You provide your expertise and your knowledge and some tips and tricks, but then everyone can join in and share their experiences and help each other as well.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in collective wisdom, because if one woman has experienced something, a lot of other women would have experienced it. I probably would have experienced it. And so you can get my, you know, professional feedback, and then you can also get the feedback and support of the other women in the community, and you can go through the journey together.
So it's like a big chat group that's focused on dating.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's actually in the form of a Facebook group. I just think that that's the best software, you know, at the moment for facilitating this kind of community. In the future it might be something else. But yeah, I think, you know, it's a great way to interact and support each other.
And why is it women only?
Men tend to, the most they might ever do is like listen to your podcast, Sammy, or watch some YouTube videos, or read, you know, at the most read a book on dating, but they generally don't invest in it, whereas women tend to have a sort of single-minded goal. They want to find someone they can share their life with. They're focused on it and they're willing to invest time and energy into it. And so when I wanted to create a membership community, I had to think about who was going to be in that community. And I thought that it would probably just best to just have women in there. I didn't want men coming in trying to meet the women, right? That's not, it's not a dating site. We'll learn how to find love, you know, community. And so I thought I'll just work with women. We'll have like this warm, supportive community, everyone helping each other to find love.
So if you like the sound of this online dating community, it's called Your Dating Bestie. You can chat to other single women and support each other and share stories and compare your dating disasters and successes. And you get 24/7 access to an actual dating expert as well to help with your dating profile and trying to make sense of this crazy world that is dating. So if you want to find out a little more about it and watch Ellie's free masterclass, the website is yourdatingbestie.com. And keep listening, because Ellie's about to share some of her dating tips. She's got some interesting theories about what women can learn from men when it comes to finding love. And she actually has the answer to that billion-dollar question. Where are all the good men? All right, let's get into the practical stuff, because I love that you say dating is a skill that anyone can learn. And once you master it, it's not a matter of if, but when you find love. I don't know. I sometimes think I'm just really bad at dating. And the more I do, the worse I get at it. So do you really think you can improve or get better at dating? It's a skill you can master?
Gosh, yes. There are just so many things you can do every step of the way, starting with like getting your mindset and expectations right, and then knowing how to use dating sites and apps effectively. And then once you get off the dating sites and apps with someone, you know, learning how to slowly but surely progress to spending your life with someone, there are so many little nuggets that you can take away. So you're in complete control of the entire thing. You're dating like a boss.
But what is the secret to adjusting your expectations? I mean, it sounds good in theory, but in practice it's not that easy to do.
Sure. Look, it's a great question. You just need to crack that window open a little bit and not be so fixated on, you know, he's got to be this, he's got to be that, he's got to be that, he can't be this, he can't be that, and then you kind of end up with nobody. I mean, I can certainly tell you how it happened with me. Would you like to hear that story?
Yes, I would.
Okay, so when David contacted me on RSVP, I looked at his profile. There were a few pros and many cons. And so the pros were, I thought he was cute, I thought he was fun, and I thought we had some common interests. He just seemed like a fun character. I thought that we would probably get along as friends, but there were quite a few other things I thought, oh, you know, I don't think that he's going to be my Mr. Right. So there were some big ones that you would reasonably think would be deal breakers, but they turned out not to be. So the potential incompatibilities we had were religion. We have had different religious beliefs. Politics, we had slightly different political beliefs. Distance, he was like a good 45 minutes to an hour's drive away. Address, he didn't live in a particularly great area. It wasn't an area that I wanted to live in. Education, he didn't go to a fancy university or anything like that. Career, you know, he had a stable career, but it wasn't anything like flashy or particularly interesting. Age, he was 10 years older than me, and I thought that might be an issue. And he had a cat, and I'm a dog person who's allergic to cats. And so it seems like this person should have reasonably ended up in my reject pile. There were all these things.
Oh, my goodness, and you ended up marrying him. So
I know, because I gave him a chance because his profile was appealing enough to give him a chance. I thought at the very least we could be friends. And then as I got to know him and as I saw how beautifully he treated me as things progressed, all those things, as I found out, all I thought they could be an issue, we talked about them, and I found out that they weren't an issue. And I even fell in love with the cat, would you believe?
So, I mean, basically, are you suggesting that unless he says in his profile he's an axe murderer, you should give him a go?
No. I think that you need to give a lot of the maybes a go. I think that's the secret. So obviously, look, if you look at a guy's pictures and you don't find him the least bit attractive, forget it, right? But there's a lot of guys in that maybe. There's a lot of guys in that maybe group that you could potentially find attractive if they had a great personality or were really interesting. It's the maybes that you've got to give a go to. And then also with their profile, if their profile is appealing enough or interesting enough and you think, I could sit opposite with this person for an hour and have a drink, you know, if that's the bar, and that was David well and truly cleared that bar, I gave him a chance. I just didn't think that we were going to be a match, and I thought that all of these things were going to be more of an issue than they were, and I found out that they weren't.
I love that. Give the maybes a go. Okay, yeah. That's a really good tip.
I think that, you know, if you've got a maybe, you have to sort of flesh it out a bit more now. A lot of information that you would already know from someone's dating profile. You know, if you see someone who falls into the maybe pile, you need to find out more about them through messaging and speaking on the phone. And, you know, those two things will give you a good idea of, you know, whether or not they're someone you can sit across a table from.
Okay, here's the billion-dollar question, not million-dollar question, billion-dollar question you say you have the answer to. And it is a question that myself and my group of friends have asked each other a gazillion times. Where are all the good men? Where are they?
Where are they? Where are they hiding?
Men, and this is not a man-bashing podcast. It's just difficult to meet, you know, a smart, decent, honest, honourable, loyal man. It is.
Okay, I have a layered answer to this question.
I'm all ears, Ellie.
The first layer is to ask the right question. Okay, so the question shouldn't be, where are all the good guys? Because you're not looking for guys, plural. You're looking for a guy, one guy. You were looking for the right guy for you. You should be asking, where is my Mr. Right? Right? You only need one. You're only looking for one. Right? So that's all you need. So scrap that question. Stop asking, where are all the good guys? And start asking the question, where is my guy? Where is my Mr. Right? So the next layer is, and we've kind of already touched on this, he's probably in your reject pile.
Or your maybe pile.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably in, you've either in the past, and we can't go back in time, but in the past you've probably swiped left on him, not replied to his message, decided you couldn't be bothered to meet him, didn't want your friend to introduce you to her, you know, eligible bachelor friend. You were just sent away the guy who tried to approach you at the bar. You rejected him before you even gave him a chance. Yeah. So if you want to know where he is, he's probably in your reject pile, or your maybe pile. The way to ensure that he doesn't end up in your reject pile again is that you be a little bit more open and give more guys a chance. Not guys that you're not remotely attracted to, not guys who are totally incompatible with you, have totally not interested in, guys who don't dazzle you immediately.
But surely you're not suggesting that we should settle.
I'm not asking you to be less picky, and I'm not asking you to settle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you to be less dismissive and give more men a chance so that one has the opportunity to pleasantly surprise you beyond your wildest expectations. So I don't want you to think that you need to spend your life with someone who, you know, doesn't make you truly happy, doesn't excite you, doesn't interest you. That's not true at all. I'm saying that that person can probably be found in the guys that you dismissed without before you gave them a chance.
Is there another layer?
There is another layer. Where are they? Well, I hate to state the obvious, but almost all of them are online. And now with COVID and people not traveling or going out as much or meeting organically, they're really all online. So if you truly want to find someone, you really do need to get on the dating sites and apps and look.
And what is the key to having a successful dating profile?
Obviously, you've got to have a good range of photos. So you need a minimum of six. So you have like two close-ups of your face, two full length, and then two photos that show your personality or your interests. So if you like horse riding, there's you riding a horse, or you like travel, you're, you know, in front of the Eiffel Tower. So, and then once you get into your profile, if you find yourself saying things like, I like eating out, watching movies and travel, everybody likes eating out, movies and travel, and everyone's looking for someone smart, funny and cute. So it's not going to tell the person anything about you. You need to kind of get into details. It's like, okay, I like eating out. Well, what do I like about eating out? Or do I have like a favorite cuisine? Or do I have the entertainment book and work my way through all the restaurants? What is it about it? Or what movies do you like? Name the last movie you saw and what you thought of it.
Because so there are more specific touch points that someone can engage with you on. And
exactly. That can give you an idea. You'll find that as you start expanding on things, your natural personality will shine through. And so the way you describe something, say something funny or say something insightful, and that will give someone an idea of what you're like. It doesn't have to be Shakespeare. It just has to be not generic.
Okay.
It also needs to be not negative. So you need to sort of hold back on the desire to put something negative in your dating profile, like, you know, no players, please, or, you know, something like that, because it comes across as bitter and negative, and it'll turn off all the men you're trying to attract. So you'll be able to handle it. If you get players or whatever approach you, you'll be able to flick them. You don't need to have it in your profile.
I like that advice, no negativity, because the more and more we are online and the more bad experiences you have and the more players you come across and time wasters, you do start to get a little bit cynical about it all. But that's such a good reminder, Ellie, just to keep the negativity out of it. The other thing, can I just plea for the men that are listening, just want to spell check over it, because you're and you're there and there. Okay, let's get it right. It's not that hard.
Get a friend to read proofread it for you.
You also said, though, you reckon men are better at dating than women. Okay, you need to please explain this, Ellie.
Okay, I also need to preface this by saying I don't think men in general are better at dating than women. I think that there are things that can be learned by the way men date. Like, the women can learn a few things from men. But so I just want to validate every single woman's experience. Men are generally appalling at dating. Okay.
It's not that they're better at dating. It's just that there are some things they do better than us.
There are some things they do better. I'm going to name three.
Okay.
Okay. So the first thing, and this is like a recurring theme, they aren't as judgmental and will give more women a chance.
I don't know. I've got male friends in two camps there. The ones that are super judgmental, like if she's a centimetre shorter than he wants her to be, she's gone. But then there's guys that swipe basically on everyone.
So, I mean, obviously we're generalising and there's an exception to every rule. So I don't mean every man.
Yeah.
I just mean most men in general are less picky or, you know, judgmental up front than most women. But men don't care as much. They find a lot of women attractive. They think a lot of women have potential. And so because they're giving more women a chance, they have more chance of finding someone to spend their life with.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, the second thing that men tend to do better than women when dating is that they don't let rejection stop them from going after what they want. It doesn't take a lot of rejection for most women to get frustrated or give up, you know, on dating. He didn't call me back, or, you know, he ghosted me. Well, I'm never doing this dating thing ever again. I very rarely hear that from men. You know, men can be rejected hundreds of times, so they don't care. They just keep going. They plow through it. They don't let it stop them. They don't let the rejections bother them. They're not so emotional about it. They don't take it personally. That's, you know, probably what it is. Yeah. They don't let it sort of, rock their ego too much. They just keep going. And because of that persistence, that's another reason why they're more likely to end up in a relationship or marriage, because they persisted, whereas a woman went, oh, he hurt me or whatever, I'm never dating again.
And they don't get overwhelmed by the rejection. All right, I like that one. And what's number three?
Men care more about how you make them feel than who you are, like how many boxes you tick, right? Women will put up with so much crap from a guy because, oh, but he's so handsome and, you know, he's funny and he has a great career and he's da 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 da. And meanwhile, he's like calling them once every 3 days, you know, organizing to see them every 2 weeks or whatever. And she'll just hang in there and or he'll be nasty to her and she'll be like, oh, you know, he's having an off day. And they'll put up with it and they'll wonder why they're unhappy. Whereas men they're more likely to be with maybe a less impressive woman who's just really sweet, really easygoing and really loves him. And I think that women can learn something from that. Men don't put up with as much crap for the, oh, because she's so hot. I mean, they'll put it up with it for maybe a month, but because she's so hot, but they won't put it up with it for months or years. You know, men will cut and run. Like, you know, the moment they see, a nasty streak, and this doesn't mean you have to be like, you can still be yourself. So I'm not suggesting that, you know, you have to be Little Miss Nice all the time. I just mean that men don't put up with as much rubbish as women do, and then women put up with this rubbish and they feel miserable. And this is something that I've learned, and another reason why I think I finally ended up in my relationship with David is that I finally realized that men are looking for a soft place to fall. Women have a soft place to fall with their mums and their sisters and their girlfriends and their therapists. Men usually can't go to their family or their mates for that kind of thing. They often go to their partner for that. And so if you are warm and empathetic and understanding and forgiving, you will just be the absolute joy of their lives. So women will sort of think that the things that make them a catch are, oh, I'm really intelligent, I'm really funny, I'm sexy. And those things are absolutely attractive qualities. But if you're miserable to be with or you make his life difficult, he won't sign up for that for a lifetime. He will sign up for you being a soft place to fall.
It sounds like you're saying it's about just feeling like that person that you're with is a safe place to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, once you find someone who never keeps you waiting by the phone, who always contacts you, always wants to see you, is always there for you, is thoughtful, you know, celebrates your birthday and Valentine's Day, and you won't care anymore what he does for work, how tall he is. You'll care that you enjoy his company and you'll care that you're attracted to him, but you won't care that he's like tick, 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 and oh, we both like skiing, you know, and it's like that stuff just doesn't matter when you're spending day in and day out with someone.
Wait a minute, it matters to me. He's skiing. If he doesn't like skiing, then this is going to be a real issue for our holidays moving forward, which is probably the reason I am still single. Finding someone that is a soft or a safe place to fall. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, David and I had in our wedding vows that our home should be a place of harmony and sanctuary. That was something that was really important to both of us, that we never wanted to feel as though we didn't want to walk through the door. Walking through the door into your home and seeing your partner should feel harmonious, and it should be your sanctuary.
Hallelujah to that. Congratulations on your business. I think it sounds amazing. Ellie, how did you come up with this idea?
It's interesting because I actually worked with a dating coach for 6 months, a six-month program, before I met David. And one of the components was a community. But what happened was, after the program ended, some of the girls in the program, we formed our own Facebook group. There was about 20 of us. And we coached each other. We've been coaching each other. I mean, we don't do it so much anymore because we all know what we're doing, but we continued to coach each other for years after the program. And I really felt like that was the best way to learn in an online community with 24/7 access. You know, there's always me or somebody there to help you, and a supportive community where you're all learning together, because you can learn just as much from other people's dating experiences as you can from your own. So you get to see what everybody else is going through.
Thank you for all of your tips and tricks, and thank you for sharing so much of your personal journey. And Ellie, I hope that you are able to help many, many people find what they're looking for.
I do too. It is the number one thing I wanted. For a while, I wasn't sure if I was going to find it. There is someone out there for you. You can find them. And I truly believe that, you know, if you keep putting yourself out there, you will eventually meet them.
You will eventually find what you're looking for.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
This podcast is produced and presented by me, Sammy Lucas. Audio director is the brilliant Robbie Wood. You can find out more about my guest Ellie at her website, yourdatingbestie.com. And you can find out more about me or this podcast at my website, sammylucas.com.